And perhaps you might like to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy and chapter 33. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word, thy love letter, and Spirit of God, here we are to for you to deliver that word to our head and heart, that we might have the advantage of your presence, of your word, of your saving grace. And thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Now, if you think of Israel at the moment, trying to do what it can to work itself out in its relationship to the nations of the world. And anti-Semitism is there. It doesn't go away, but it isn't going to go away, as we shared. Anti-Semitism is there because Israel can never be any to belong to. Israel can never fit in to the world system. The whole world system, it can never fit in. And therefore, God will not let it fit in. And thus, as we read and did all of this, when we did it in Deuteronomy, etc., I'm going to make you, if you don't, do and trust me. You will be a proverb, a byword. Everything's going to go against you when you try to succeed and belong to the world. You don't belong to the world. You belong to Almighty God's and his saving grace. So therefore it never works. They're leaving God out. They're trying to do everything, and God is gracious to them, but they're missing out. They have to turn to God. So now, that's what's missing. In order to illustrate, if they turn to God, when they turn to God, to see. So therefore, using that avenue, go back in, as we did in Deuteronomy, and we share together before they cross the Jordan River. God delivers the summation of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, in the book of Deuteronomy, before they cross the river Jordan. And thus, as you come to the end of Deuteronomy, as we shared together last time, going to verse chapter 33, chapter 34, Moses dies, but in chapter 33, verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And they haven't crossed the Jordan, but they are told everything, they've got everything ahead of them as a plus. God is going to be with them and for them to bring it all as he would have it to be worked out in world history in God's holy, happy name. Now, so therefore, as we read in verse 29, therefore God, the sword of his excellency, the sword which maintains his dignity, his majesty, God's wonderful protection, God's wonderful care, God is going to take care of them in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, now you turn the page and they cross the Jordan as we shared all these things into Joshua chapter 5. God has already told them they're winners and they just need to proceed. The enemy's there in all of its power, etc., as you know. So, here in Joshua chapter 5, God has offered and not offered, he told them of his care and his protection, the sword of his excellency. So when we come to Joshua looking at Jericho before they go against Jericho in chapter 5, and remember we shared together that Joshua was looking at the city, trying to figure out what to do, and here the Lord, I'll have to read it a little bit, verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. The sword was drawn, that's the condition, it was a drawn sword, it wasn't in the sheath, and it was continuously drawn. It wasn't to be put back in the sheath. The sword was out, the sword was for battle, and the sword stayed out. Now, so therefore, in verse 13, at the end, and Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us and against our adversaries? We just did all these things. God isn't for either side. God is for the outworking of his good will in his good way. Verse 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, he's the general. He's the one in charge. He's the one that's going to lead them. The sword is drawn. He has all the host of the Lord. All of creation is at his command. All of creation. There's nothing anywhere that he can't use, weather, bugs, bees, whatever it is, God will do whatever. All of it is at his command. He's the general. He's the Lord of hosts over it all. Now, and therefore, come, and Joshua said, fell on his face, and worshipped and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto thy servant, etc. Now, having done that and looked at that, and his God, he's the captain, he's the general as we shared, and he's going to go, and it is God is personally active. God is personally active and involved. He isn't an absentee landlord like a Sunday school. He's not an absentee landlord. He's right there. His property, his time, his working, God's right there. And so here's the world system. And the world system is against God. It hates God. The world system occupies the land along with the rest of the world system. And therefore, they're going to go against an enemy that has no interest whatsoever in looking to God, giving God any credit. The world system will not look to God, does not look to God in any way, shape, or form. So, and therefore, Israel is God's raising up an Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And God is raising up Israel to be a nation to show his wonderful grace to a world system that hates him. But God created us all us humans in Adam, and God died for all of us humans in Adam, and all us humans in Adam are supposed to be saved. And all we had to do is believe. God didn't ask us to fix anything, change anything in that sense to save us. God said, just believe. I'll take care of the rest as you trust me and learn of me. So here they is the nations, and their assignment, Deuteronomy chapter 4, is to be a nation, and all the nations of the world, when Israel is healthy, as you know, chapter 4, Deuteronomy, well, then when all the world looks, 6, 7, and 8, all the world will say, there's no God like your God. And God blesses them, and they know it. The world sees Israel. in and under God's supreme, wonderful, serious blessing. That's how I see it. And there's no way around it. Wow. But, that's what Israel, that's what they were to be, a nation, chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. And therefore, Jerusalem was to occupy the land in a most wonderful way. Now, as we said that, and God's going to possess the land. And in the process, they're going to have to dispossess the enemy. And you already remember that in Genesis 15 and that. God told them way back then to Abraham, 400 years from now, 400 years, Abraham and Moses is going to go into the land. And actually, Exodus 12, 430 years after God said that, Exodus leaves Egypt. Now, so God, everything's working out in God's time and God's way. Everything's going. And so therefore, God, it's all working out. And Israel is to be instructed that God has a wonderful purpose and a wonderful place. It isn't in the world. It isn't in New York. It isn't in London. It isn't in China. Where is Israel's place? In the land. No other place. Why do we have to have Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem's in the place. And Jerusalem is the city in the place that God has for Israel. You know from Deuteronomy, etc., that God of all the nations, every nation has its place. Israel has its place, and no one can take its place. So now, and having said that, and keeping that in mind, remind yourself and myself, go back over, if I can, to Deuteronomy. And you have to have, God has a reason for everything and a time for everything. And you remember, Deuteronomy, Moses clued Israel in his wonderful way. And in chapter 2, Deuteronomy, in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 3. And you'll remember it just to remind us ourselves. When they're going to cross the Jordan, they're going to go and take that land. But why couldn't we go and take Moscow? Why couldn't we go and go to England? You can't. You can't. Why can't we go anywhere? Because that is not the assignment for Israel. Israel's assignment is to be in God's place, in God's time, for God's reason. That's what they're to be. They're to be a lighthouse. You just don't put a lighthouse in the middle of Hartford. It doesn't belong in the middle of Hartford. A lighthouse belongs out where it belongs to protect and give a message to the world system. When you're traveling at sea, remember the lighthouse, the message of the lighthouse is out there. Israel is placed in smack dab in the middle of a flat map, right smack in the middle of the map. Israel, Jerusalem, a lighthouse, right smack in the middle of it all. That's where it belongs. It doesn't belong in Moscow or China or New York City. It belongs there. Now, having said that, and they were instructed, you remember chapter 2 and verse 3, when they left Mount Sinai, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward, go into the land. Verse 4, and command thou, thus the people saying, you want to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take you good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Verse 5, meddle not with them. For reason, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth. Your shoe. You can't even have a shoe's your footprint in that land. It's not for you. And thus finishing that, foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. And you can go down to verse 9. We do all these as you read the whole chapter. And in the process, and the Lord said unto me, verse 9, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give, don't even bother fighting them. Leave them alone. It's the world system. I'm not trying to change the world system. I'm trying to give a light to the world system, my lighthouse. So, verse 9, neither commend with them, contend with them in battle. Why not? For I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given unto the children of Lot for a possession. And you keep reading, he tells you, don't try to take anything except what I tell you. So in God's will for Israel, you have to be in Israel. That's why they, after the war, Second World War and all that, went back to Israel. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, back over to Joshua, if I can. And the world system is there. And the world system is looking and waiting on God. So, and as we go to chapter 5, reminding ourselves, well, before we need to connect this, need to connect the pieces. So, don't take any place except what I give you. And when God is giving and outworking his will, when he's doing that, that's just what's going to happen, the way it's going to happen. And no one, anywhere, anyhow, can fix it, change it. God's going to do it. And therefore, you want to stay, like we shared this morning, you want to stay in the will of God, like the branch, abiding. You want asking in order to receive, like we did. So you see that. You want to practice that. It isn't just asking any old thing. No, you want to stay healthy. You want to have, like the branch, good leaves and good fruit. That's what your job is now, to be a lighthouse. So, over to Joshua chapter 1, I should say. And you would recall, chapter 1, going, if I can, to verse 2. Moreover, my servant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, this is to Joshua, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. As I said it, I have the land spelled out. How is it spelled out? The next verse, verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, even the river Euphrates, that's way over. Here's the Red Sea, here's the Mediterranean Sea, and you slide all the way over eastward, and there's the Euphrates River. Going up north, there's the Euphrates River. So, verse 4, from the wilderness, this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, Mediterranean, unto the going down of the sun. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west, and here's over there, and all the way across, here's we're going to cross, here's the sun, all the way across the Euphrates River, all the way to the Mediterranean to set in the west. And unto the great sea, to the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. God spelled out the land. God had a wonderful plan, has a wonderful plan for Israel. When you leave God out of the plan, you lose it. And you're trying to have something in the wrong way, and you're there trying to be like 1 Samuel 8 and that, as we knew all those things. Israel got tired of having judges, and Samuel's the last judge. They got tired of having judges, so they wanted to be like the other nations and have a king. And they're reaping that right now. They're reaping the consequences. They wanted to be like the other nations. They never should have done that. Now, you say, I want to be like the others. No, you don't. When God saves you, he sets you apart in a wonderful way. And no, you are no longer your own. You belong to him. And no one else can have you. Ever. That's wonderful. No one else can ever have you. He bought you with a price. And when you receive him as your Savior, you belong to him in his body. And that's how it's going to go. Well, it did. Then you lose out. You'll be like Israel. All of these years gone by, missing out because they didn't believe. And your whole life's going to tumble by. And you'll be saved like 1 Corinthians 3, saved as by fire. You could have had, but we wanted to fit in. You don't fit in. Israel doesn't fit in. They don't belong in. They're a lighthouse. They belong. You're lights in a world of darkness. So, and therefore, God, we're looking in your wonderful system, and you outwork your wonderful system in your awesome, wonderful way. Now, so here's Jerusalem, and here's Israel, and there they are in the land. And God's going to be the captain and take them forward in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, over if I can, and back to chapter 5. And this land that they're going to go on, as you know, it's God-given land. So it's God's will for Israel. That's wonderful. And no one else, you can't change that. No one can change that. God done it. It's what he has. So, and when God saves us in the church age, in this age of grace, God saves us in a wonderful way. And God has a wonderful plan. And that's what he's going to do. So like we said, asking and receiving and all of that, to see it for real and not louse it all up with our thinking and enjoy it. God has a wonderful plan, Ephesians 2:10 and all of that, and God's going to do it. That's what we're going to do. Got to do it for Israel if they wanted it, but they didn't see it, didn't want to understand it. So here's our little hearts, and you're looking for people that think like that. They're not going to find too many of them. So you're going to have to draw a circle and understand that God, who saved you, owned you in a most wonderful way and bought you with a price. And therefore, you want to, what, God? You'll have to outwork your will in your way in my life. And underline Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because I am going to outwork my good will in my good way in your life. That's why. And you say, well, no one else cares. No one, my family doesn't care. No one cares. No, God does. And God makes you. So you line up. But I don't want to, then I'll be an odd nut. Then be an odd nut. I'll be an odd duck. How's that? Just do it. Just do it. And God will bless you. God gives favor. And we get through life. Here we are. Here we are sitting here. And we got through life this far. And we go to the grocery store and do everything that we have to. Now, back over if I can. In chapter 5. And you remember, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, every place I've given to you. Now, verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And you remember Moses, Exodus 3, at Mount Sinai, up there with a little bush burning, and God was in the bush, and Moses was before God, and God said, you're on holy ground, Moses. Take your shoes off, as it were. You're on holy ground. You're resting in my presence, said God. You need to remember, you're in my presence, on my ground. When I'm there, it's my ground. The world system doesn't have it. I have given it to you, Moses, and you're going to end up on top of this mountain giving the Ten Commandments, as it were. So, in the process, God, it's holy ground. And now being holy ground, and it's God-given ground, therefore it's holy. So Joshua had to take his shoes off, as you know, and be mindful of the fact that it was holy ground. And Israel was to know what? It's holy ground, as the bush was holy, and the mountain, Mount Sinai, is holy. The tabernacle is holy. The ark is holy. The priesthood is holy. And you want to be a holy people. Leviticus 11, etc. You are a holy people. You're my people. Therefore, you have to be holy. Holy, you're set apart. You're set apart for the outworking of my goodwill. That's why you're holy. You have to line up where I'm going and how I'm going down the corridor of time. Line up with me, and we'll do it. Now, having said that, and you recall the ground. And now, why are we taking the shoes off? You remember. Over, if I can, over to Genesis, you know. We did that, but just to see, I could say it a little bit, but let's look at it again. On Genesis in chapter 3, and picking up, if I may, Genesis in chapter 3, as you remember, in the process. And so the ground is the ground. It's holy ground. That's right. And if I can, chapter 3, now when Adam and Eve sinned, it affected everything. And thus, all of creation, the animal life, vegetation, food, everything was all changed. So, in a way to help them. So when we come to chapter 3, you remember, if I can, in God's judgment of Adam and Eve and the world system in which we live, and us humans are from the line of Adam, we're living in and under it. So therefore, in chapter 3, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. It's for thy sake in the process. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. I curse the ground Why? For your sake. Genesis 2 and 17, etc. And 7. God made man of the dust of the ground. God made man of the dust of the ground. Your shoes. Take your shoes off. I want you to understand. I want you to get the message. What's the message? That you are dust. And I want you to put your feet in that ground so that you understand you are dust in order to enjoy, in order to enjoy God's wonderful person in a most wonderful way. That you don't boast about yourself. You boast about God who takes you, dust of the ground, and makes you glorious. Ah, and God gets all the credit. All the credit. Hang on. Now, so the ground is cursed. Take your shoes off. I want you to be straightway touching the ground. Because you want to, verse 19, verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face, verse 19, thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. To keep you humbled, humbled. Don't get pride. Pride lifts you up and thinks you can be something. God didn't make you to be something. He made you to enjoy someone. He made you to enjoy who he is. And you get the full enjoyment because God takes his wonderful person and gives his wonderful person to dust. Now, to do that, as you know, over to 2 Corinthians. Sort of drifting a bit, but you'll get the idea. As you already know it anyway, you know it. 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, if I can, and in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 4, you'd recall, now, and the devil wants to go and blind the minds of people so they don't see any of this. They don't want to see it. And that's why, back, just so you see, for the Jewish people, chapter 3, verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face after seeing the law, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. In other words, they couldn't handle looking at Moses after he came down from the mountain. Verse 14, and their minds were blinded, for until this day, even this day, remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Christ died on the cross and answered the law. But they don't see that. Verse 15. But even unto this day, verse 15, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart, and you can read Genesis, Exodus, the whole Old Testament, and you still stay unsaved. How could you read all those books and see about God's saving grace and never get saved? Because we don't believe. And we shared it. There are dear rabbis that can quote books of the Bible in the Old Testament, but it doesn't save you. Reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible doesn't save you. It's believing and letting the truth of the Bible find a home in your heart. And if you don't let that happen, all you got's a whole lot of knowledge that doesn't do you much good. No, it has to find life. The words that I speak unto you, John 6:63, are spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing. You got to let it live. Now, and so therefore, the Jews need to believe. And in chapter 4, 3 and 4, I'll read chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, N-O-T, lest, why aren't they believing? Because they don't want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They don't want that lighthouse. They don't want to see that light. So when Israel left God, the light went out. Israel's there, but there's no light. So, sliding down to where we want to look in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, his Lord, our Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's why we're reading God's word and looking at it, because that's what we're supposed to do. Reason, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. That's right. Two, what for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that we could have light in our dark heart, and God brings light into our dark heart. And the ground is cursed. Take the shoes off. Verse 7, but we have this treasure, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, vessels of dust. That's where we are, what we are, and that's where we're going. We're going back to the dust where we came from. That's what we're going to do. That's the way it is. We're dust, and you know we said all those things. When you go and lay down and all that stuff, you keep shedding, your body keeps shedding all the dead skin, and you know. And that's why if you don't careful with your bed and that, your bed will get very heavy because it's picking up you. And you keep depositing yourself in that bed. You know, so that's why you have a washable sheet or something so you get rid of it. Otherwise, that bed is going to get very heavy. And I think I heard, if I understand it right, along all the things of 1,000 years ago, that your body replaces itself totally every 7 years. From head to toe, all of those cells are replaced every 7 years. And I don't know where they go, but they're all gone. Now, so you're dust. But you're helping Kayla, you're helping Joshua. Yes, I am. Take the shoes off your feet. It's holy ground. You're dust. I don't want you to forget it. I don't want you to understand and think you can be like the nations. You're not the nations. You're special, and you're special. And don't lose your specialness. I made you dust to house deity. I made you dust for me to find my home in your heart without competition, without having to have a debate. Well, God, I'm somebody and you need to know who I am. No, God said, I don't want to do that. I want you to just enjoy that I created you and I died on the cross to save you. And I want you to enjoy my presence. That's what I want you to do. That's all I want. I got to quit. You get any idea? I hope. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, for your grace, and all that you're doing. We thank you, God, that we're able to go and we wear the shoes because we walk in this world. But God, when we're conscious of you, our bare feet are on holy ground. We're reminding ourselves of our condition. We are as the flower of the field. The grass blooms today. The flower is here and the flower is gone. God, that's us, our bodies. And our body is to be replaced with a wonderful glorified body like you have, our Lord, that we can enjoy and house. We can enjoy your wonderful presence all the days of forever. And our God, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for God. Thank you for Israel. God, they're going to get it straight, but not yet. And we need to understand, God, your wonderful working in our life as we go down the corridor of time. You have covered every base and made everything to work out in a most wonderful way. And you did it personally, God. You believe when we received you as our Savior, you're going to take us, this body that you bought with a price, and take it down the corridor of time. And God, this body, these bodies, have your personal attention as we go down the corridor of time. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.